I thank all those who are out today and hope you feel blessed for being here today. Vicki received this poem called The Dance, and I wanted to kind of, I'll read this poem to you, and that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about today is that dance. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to this day on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted the first came the day of her birth, and he spoke of the following day with tears. But he said what mattered the most of all was the dance between those years. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and how we live and love, and how we spend our days. So think about this long and hard. Are these things you do, you like to change? Are there things you like to change? Well, you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and to show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we never loved before. If we treat each other with respect, and more often wear a smile, remember that the special dance might only last a while. So when your eulogy is read, with your life actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they said about you spent on your dance? And I have a thing about that, you know, we never really talk about death that much. But, you know, it's very important what we do with that dance, on that dance, because that dance represents our life. And, you know, most times at funerals we talk about the person, you know, what they done, and, you know, you kind of reflect on it. And I kind of look at myself and like, you know, would I be proud of when my children will think of me about their dads? Would my parents, if they're still alive, because we never know when we die, I could go before my parents. Would they be, you know, preaching of my dads? But more importantly, of how everyone else felt about my dads, I want to know how God is going to see my dads when Jesus come back to bring me before his Father. Would he look at my dads and see that, you know, he'll say, well done to me, and enter into the gates? And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. What on that dash that I feel was important to me. Everybody has, you know, things that they feel important. But I want to talk about love, because I believe love is important on that dash. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. And when you talk about love, I'm talking about love that, you know, how you interact with your family, how you interact with your neighbors, how you interact with even your enemies. In Ephesians 5:22-28, wives, submit to your husband as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body and himself his Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit everything to their husband. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself unto her, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might represent the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Colossians 3:19. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. That's kind of, you know, I feel when that time comes and God, he's going to look at how we treated our spouse. Did we love our spouse, you know, unconditionally? Did we treat our spouse right? Or did we just be hateful towards our spouse? You know, that's a part of love that I think he would look at. It's also loving your children. In Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up with the discipline and the education of the Lord. In Colossians 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And in Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but whoever loves him is diligent to discipline him. And I believe this is also part of showing love between the parents and the children. And I believe God will look at that too. Are you bringing up your children to work to know me? Are you bringing them to me? Have you taught your children about me? And, you know, when your children go astray, don't just try to cover it up. He wants you to discipline and discipline them quickly. Don't wait. Don't down the line and say, oh, I forgot to, you know, do this. You know, that's part of showing love. I know sometimes, I think we had one preacher here, he talked about it. He said he didn't want to whoop his kids, but he knew he had to. And it hurt him just as much as it did to see his kids in pain. But that's part of being disciplined. That's part of showing them that you love them. He also talked about loving our neighbor. In Mark 12:30-31, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. See, there he talked about loving your neighbor. And you know, and it's just not your immediate neighbor, you're just talking about your neighbors in general. You know, love them as you love yourself. And that's one of the greatest commandments, he says. So, you know, you got to show that love. You also want to look at that. How did you treat others? How did you love others? And this one here, the next one I'm going to talk about is real difficult to deal with. And that's loving your enemies. And we all know it's kind of hard to love someone that does wrong to you or someone that's constantly, if you try to do right by them, they're constantly doing wrong by you or they're constantly, you know, doing bad to you. And that's your enemies. In Luke 6:26-36, but to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes that what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you will have them do to you. If you lose those who love you, what credit is that to you? Every sinner loses those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those to whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners. Expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be greater, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. See, that's kind of hard for us to deal with, to be kind and give to our enemies. You know, because not that thing, you know, one, you ain't going to want to give anything to your enemy. You see them out there hurting, or you see them on the side of the road with a flat tire, you're not going to want to go help them. Or if you see that they need something, or they you know they're struggling, and you know they're struggling, and they don't have to ask you because they're your enemy. They're not going to ask you, but for you to go over there and help them out. You know that would be hard to do. But then when you do decide to help them out, are you helping them out because you love them, because that's what God said, or are you helping them out because you want to rub it in their face? When God look at your dad, is he going to see that you helped him because he helped us? Or are you going to see that you was doing it out of spite? See, that's the kind of thing we want to look at when we look at our dads. We sit down and we think about it, because we never know that end date at the end of our dad. No one knows that day. We can walk out of here today, but hey, I don't mean ill will on anyone here, but it's true. No one knows when that dash will end. In Matthew 43-48, if you heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of the Father in heaven. He causes his Son to rise on evil and good and send the rain and the righteous on the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Or not even the tax collectors doing that? And if the great one, if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And like I said, I know loving him, I deal with it too. I have people, you know, that wrong me and Sometimes I just say to myself, I do not want to help that person. But I know it's the right thing to do. Because we all have our own faults. We all have faults. We do. If there's anyone that's sitting here saying that they don't have a problem, then we might have to, you might need to take a really inner look at yourself and pick up your Bible and read a little bit more. Because we all have our own faults. And I think without love, you won't be able to do this next one I'm going to talk about. And that's forgiveness. Because in order to forgive, you have to love. Forgiveness of someone can be difficult. Why do we need to forgive others? How can we forgive others? Actually, forgiveness is not about the other person, but also about our own spiritual growth. Love and forgiveness can't be separated. If one chooses to live out their love of God as the purpose of our lives, then forgiving is an option that cannot be avoided. And why do we forgive? We forgive because we are sinners and we should forgive others. If you think about it, we all are sinners and we all been forgiven. So if we are and we sin and we ask for forgiveness, why can't we forgive others? In Matthew 6:14-15, For if you're forgiving men when they say sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. In Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. In Ephesians 4:31-32, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as Christ forgave you. It's just like I said. How can we not forgive someone when we've been forgiven? And I don't know anybody's personal day-to-day business, but I know I've seen it. And I ask forgiveness on a daily basis. How can I ask forgiveness if I'm not willing to forgive? And be ready to forgive over and over again. In Matthew 8:21-22, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother for his sin against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answers, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. So that means there's no limit to how many times you forgive a person. If they wrong you and 20 minutes later they come and they wrong you again, but they ask for forgiveness each time they forgive you, Jesus says right here, forgive them. Because that's exactly what we do. I know I do. I can't speak for you, but I know I do. I know I do things wrong all the time. And if he was just say, I'm going to forgive you 7 times, then I'd be in some trouble. Because I know I've done wrong more than 7 times. So that's why he said 70 times 7. In Luke 17:3-4, so watch yourself. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If his sin against you 7 times in a day, and sin 7 times, and 7 times come back to you and say, I repent, forgive him. That's exactly what he does for us. And love will lead to forgiving others. In 1 Corinthians 13:4-6, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongdoing. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices in the truth. And that goes back to, you know, forgiving, loving, love unconditional. Love as Jesus unconditionally loved us. He didn't have to come and pay that price for us, but he did. And that's because of the love that he had for us. And we still see him today, and he's still there for us when we ask for forgiveness. And if there's anyone that thinks that they don't sin, this is what he says in 1 John 1:8. If we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we all are sinners. Now we learned about love, like I said, on my line. It's just something that I look at on my dash that it helped me to get on that path. But the last thing I wanted to talk about is accepting Jesus as my Savior, obeying the gospel. Without learning how to forgive and accept forgiveness, I wouldn't be able to accept Christ in my life. And I think that's important in my days. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. See, well, if I didn't know how to love, and I didn't know how to forgive, then I wouldn't know how to obey the gospel. Then Peter, in Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Revelation 10:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. In Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where thou must be saved. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto my Father but by me. In Mark 16:16, he that believeth is baptized, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I believe when you look at your life, when you look at your dad, are you going to be worried about what people think about you? Or are you going to be worried about your Lord and Savior in heaven? Are you going to be worried about how he looks at your dad? Because once we pass away, there's no redo. There's no, well, let me go back and try to fix my dad. Because once that day gets put on the end, that is it. Whatever you've done on that day is what God is going to judge you on. And if you're here today and you want to change that day, you need to come to the front, ask for forgiveness, or need the prayers of the church, or if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you can come and stand as we sing.